It's the song swap showdown, where we swap three songs and rate them 1 to 5 records. And there ain't no crying, no, no. But we laugh a lot and give you lots of fun song facts. We hope you enjoyed our show. You're welcome.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown. We are so happy that you could join us all here today. I already see the comments in the chat already starting to light up, so that is a great way to kick off our show. I always love it, always love it. So thank you all so much for checking us out live, for those of you that can make the time to check us out live right here, as we do every Monday at 8:15 a.m. You can watch the show stream live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Those are your three platforms of choice at the moment for the live stream. But of course, you can always check out replays of the show wherever you get podcasts, and also over on YouTube, where we have an entire playlist full of every episode we've done since the beginning of our time. every live episode's there. So you can see that on a playlist. Plus, you know, you can listen to everything on the audio feeds as well. For free, I might add. Not behind a paywall.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Not behind a paywall.
We just throw it all out there. All we ask in return is that you love it.
That's it. That you like it. That you follow the show wherever you're watching or listening to it, especially on YouTube. You hit that subscribe button. And then the little bell so you get notified. Or if you're on Spotify, you hit that follow button. Or over on Apple Podcasts, you hit the follow button. Or any of the platforms that you are checking us out, hit the follow button, because it does go a very long way in not only our lives as creators, but also your other favorite creators as well. Mm-hmm. Trust me on that one. It's a very small token of your appreciation for us. And there's other ways, but that's one way. That is one way.
I think that's our most fun way. Like, I think we get really excited when we see comments come in, good or bad. Just seeing all the comments that are in queue today already. Yeah. We just started the show. So
unbelievable.
We just can't like emphasize enough how much that means to us. So please, we encourage you to do it all the time.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Couldn't agree more. Because I know I do it, because I do want to get notified of all the stuff I follow. Because otherwise I forget.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if this is your first time checking out Song Swap Showdown, well, we're so happy that you decided to take a chance on us and and spend about an hour and change with us, as we do. And we do appreciate you. So this is how the show normally works if this is your first time. So Amanda and I each swap three songs with each other every single week. And we try to make them songs that we don't think the others heard before, although it happens. I mean, absolutely. This week was hard because it's we're dealing with a year in specific. And I know Amanda and I know a lot of music from this time frame. So it was tough trying to find songs that we don't think the others heard before. But I think we've got a few in there that were like, oh, hadn't heard that one before. So so typically we'll swap those three songs, and then we rate those songs on an ever sliding scale of 1 to 5 records, with 1 being a dumpster fire. Get out of here.
Get gone.
I didn't
get
use
yourself
that drop.
Gone.
I didn't use that drop in a while, so I forgot.
I know. It's perfect for that.
Yeah. 1 being a dumpster fire and 5 records being
that
heavenly
gorgeous
music to our ears and landing on the eternal playlist.
Gotcha.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Learning, gorgeous. Leaning on that, just landing on that eternal playlist of everything. That the song that you want to hear over and over and over again, and you'll never get sick of. And thank God I found this song. Thank God it was bequeathed upon me, because I don't ever want to miss it. And that's typically how the show works. We always pick a theme. And now, if you've been a regular listener to the show, you know this isn't new. But if you're a new listener to the show, this is new for you. We have now instituted instituted, right? Instituted a new segment at the end of the show, which is about 3 weeks old, I'd say at this point. Yep. Yeah, 3 weeks old, where we spin the wheel of themes. and wherever that lands is next week's show theme. And so the wheel has been curated with show ideas from Amanda and I, plus our community, which, by the way, if you want to join our community, it's 100% free. It's on Facebook. Join it. It's great. We always have music discussions in there, discussions after the show continue there. And it is a great way to enter your show idea to be entered on the Wheel of Show Themes.
And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, it was all on breakup songs, mm-hmm. where I could have landed myself easily in jail with my song choices. Chris was just in a corner crying.
Yeah, there was a lot of emo boy, sad emo boy action going on with some murderous revenge, and just revenge in general, which then we wound up making Amanda. By the way, Amanda's been on fire making shirts for the show. So if you want to see all the latest shirt designs that Amanda's been making, inspired by the show, go to our shop. It's in right. Actually, the QR code that's on screen, if you're watching, you can scan that and it'll take you right to a shop, all our links, all that. Mm-hmm. And she made a really funny shirt based off of last week's show. You'll have to check it out. It is based on that like, you know, sad emo boy versus like revenge.
Yeah, there's either hair everywhere or blood everywhere. Yeah. Which one are you?
Which one are you? Are you a hair everywhere kind of person or a blood everywhere?
No judgment either way. And of course, we had to induct the Poor Marcus shirt, because yes. Every episode I usually reference Poor Marcus and Chris eagerly agrees.
That's right.
As does all of our listeners. So the Poor Marcus shirt now is available. And I told Marcus about that. He goes, do I get royalties from it? I was like, well, we got to sell one. So someone go buy one.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a lot of good shirt design. So, and if there's a shirt design you would like to see, or yeah. something we say here on the show that you would think would make a great shirt, mm-hmm. let us know either in the comments or send us an email over at info@songswapshowdown.com. Because if we dig your idea, we will make it. We will make it. We're not above just creating stuff because we think it's funny.
Absolutely. You'll see some of our shirt designs are just that.
Yeah, exactly. So Amanda, mm-hmm. this week's pick, this week's song theme, yes. or show theme mm-hmm. of songs. What are we doing today? If you haven't guessed by the title, by the way, for everybody checking this out, because you probably landed on us being like, I like that. I'm going to check Absolutely. It out. But what is our show theme?
Today we are in the year, not the decade, the year of 1970. And I tell you what, it was not easy going down into that niche year of 1970, because there's a lot of great songs I would have chose from that decade. But to niche it to 1970s, and I realized some of the songs that maybe I wanted were like a 69 or 74. Like there was a lot of in-between. So to narrow down just 70 was a little bit of a challenge. Hey, we're willing to work for this show. In this episode, we worked for.
We definitely did. We certainly did. And yeah, this was a hard one because, like, to your point, there were songs I was like, oh, this is for sure 1970. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm off by like 4 or 5 years. Absolutely. Like, wow, this is not 1970. And what's interesting, too, and I do have a list. I'll read a list real quick. But it is interesting because you do think about this is coming off of like 1969.
Yeah.
Right. So it's amazing to see like the blend mm-hmm. of music and the shift like a year later from what came out in 69 to 70 and some of the bands that had a record in 69 and then released. Some of the bands even released two records in 1970, Absolutely. Which is like, it's like crazy to me to think about like some bands doing that, like releasing two records in a year. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, that was actually more the norm than it is now. You know, bands are just under a lot of pressure to keep the momentum going, keep releasing records, keep getting out on tour and all that. And so it was interesting to see what bands and what music was out, but. So here's a quick sampling of what came out in a year, 1970. Some of these records you may know, some of them may be new to you. Mm-hmm. But Let It Be by the Beatles mm-hmm. was released May 8th, 1970. American Beauty by Grateful Dead was released November 1st, 1970. Funhouse by the Stooges, which, by the way, was on my list. The first incarnation on my list was a tune from Funhouse. And I wound up taking it off because I was just like, I wanted to give you Stooges, but, you know, once again, the list is on and on. But that was released July 7th, 1970, which, by the way, very landmark record. All These Things Must Pass by George Harrison, released in 1970. Deep Purple, Deep Purple and Rock, Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones. T-Rex, Electric Warrior, released September 24th, 1970. Abbey Road. So we're in a year where Let It Be and Abbey Road were released the same year. Released September 26, 1980. Morrison Hotel by The Doors. Moondance by Van Morrison. Jimi Hendrix Band of Gypsies. Neil Young After the Gold Rush. Grateful Dead with a second release. Working Man's Dead, June 14th, 1970. The Who Live at Leeds. Paul McCartney. McCartney released April 17th, 1970. So you had two Beatles. Beatles records, and then a George Harrison solo record and Paul McCartney solo record, all done in the same year. And of course, James Taylor, Sweet Baby James. Tons. I mean, that one. So many, many more records released. Crosby, Stills, Nash with Deja Vu. And the number one best-selling record of 1970.
Number one record.
I mean, we're a bunch of number one records, but the best-selling record of 1970 was Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. And do you know what record won Album of the Year according to the Grammys in 1970? Album of the Year.
I don't know.
That would be your boy, not Elvis.
Oh, I was like, what?
Not Elvis. But it would be Johnny Cash's Live from San Quentin was Album of the Year. Won a Grammy.
It should have.
But like, just think, like all those things that we just talked, 1970, what a year. And we have songs that we've picked on here that I didn't mention some of those albums, but like, we're going to go into it. So I think the chat is lighting up, by the way, because
it is.
I'm just going to say, I look at the demographics that we look at the demographics on our show. We see who listens to the show. Mm-hmm. We see you all. We got you. We know that this year is, you know, near and dear to some of our community's hearts. So we get it. So, all right. So let's check in with some of the comments before we dive into the show. And then we're going head first. Dave Mattingly, our VIP, Mr. Buy Me a Coffee himself. Love him. Thank you, Dave. Friends band from the 80s used to do a lounge cover of Paranoid. Uh-oh, spoiler alert. Is that one of those coming up? Well, obviously, you know, if you looked at the show description.
a lounge version
of Paranoid. Ian from Australia coming in saying, hey, Dave, from the Land Under. And Dave Mattingly, got to know how you did this, Dave.
Yeah.
How did you mirror your text? Dave's saying, hello, Ian, reversed, because but, like, Ian's from Down Under. Yeah,
upside down. So hello is reversed. Ian's upside down. So clever.
All right. So we've got picks coming in. So this is part of the show. If you're watching live, let us know what some of your picks from 1970 would have been, just the year 1970. And also, feel free to play along on a show as we rate songs. Mm-hmm. Let us know what your ratings would have been. Do you agree, disagree? We'd love to hear from you. So Ian's picking with his Aussie picks for the week are Comic Conversation by Johnny Farnham, A Little Ray of Sunshine by Axiom, and Turn Up Your Radio by Masters Apprentices. For a second, when I saw Turn Up Your Radio, I thought you meant Autograph, the hard rock. But I'm like, that wouldn't be 1970. But Turn Up Your Radio by Masters Apprentices.
What a name.
I like that. That's
I do too.
That's like a metal name.
For sure.
Dave checking in with my 1970 picks for Chris. Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Oh, Lucretia McEvil. Oh, good pick. That's a deep cut, dude. Hot Legs by Neanderthal Man. I do not know that one. Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan, Tennessee Birdwalk. Do not know that one either, Dave. Wow, I love it. I'm checking these out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then Dave's picks for Amanda, his 1970 picks, Bobby Bloom, Montego Bay, Simon and Garfunkel, mm-hmm. Cecilia.
Oh, that's a good one.
Classic. And Van Morrison, Moondance.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Who I love.
Love it. And then Dave goes on. He's got more in there. Mr. Mark Ronick, check in with Hi CNA. Well, good morning, our friend Mark Ronick. Ian going, answering my question from before. There was a version of Rop Room in Australia.
Fun.
Yeah, the teacher or host, teacher/host for the one was Miss Doobie, I think, or something like, or Miss Doobie, I forgot what it was. And then or Doobie the Bee. I'm sorry, I'm getting all confused. It's been so long. I know my sister is probably screaming right now, like, ah, Dave, checking. I assume Dashboard Confessional broke up because the girlfriend was quite bald.
Yeah, everywhere.
Dave working on his tight five. I love it. I think Dave knows every song recorded in 1970. Says Ian.
Agree, Ian.
Yeah. I know. I knew Dave was going to give me garbage trash. You dropped the Stooges, you lame brain. I'm sorry, Dave. I know.
Disappointed.
I know. Don't worry. The Stooges will come back at some point. Yeah. And my mom checking in. What a great year for music. There you go. Wow. Yes, it was a great year for music. Absolutely. So, all right, everyone. Oh, and by the way, the other thing that we do is we do keep track of our scores here. Since we started score tracking.
I've got my very Amanda, complicated score list here.
Yeah. Amanda, you're currently 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 2-3.
Yes. Right?
Is that so correct?
This could be a tie-er episode.
Could be a tie-er.
Tie-er episode. You know, this is live. You say what you say.
We say what we say. We say what we say. Yeah. All right. Let's do it. Let's get into it. Who's going first this week?
Okay, I'm going to dive into your first song to me, if that is allowed.
It is totally allowed. Okay. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
And I will say, Chris, don't let me forget to do our little jingle that I did for us.
Oh, you have a new jingle?
I have a new jingle. So when should we throw that in the episode? After song one, song twos?
Let's do after. So let's see what everybody says. You guys let us know. Yeah. When do you want to hear Amanda's jingle? After song one or song two?
It's a little twangy today. So you're welcome in advance.
I feel so special.
All right. Celebration Day is Chris's song pick number one to me by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
Or oh, no.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Let's do this. So I had never heard the song before. Surprise, shocker.
Surprise.
Okay. Do you have the song queued up where you could play the very beginning of it? Because I need you to all hear me out. When Chris plays this song, I need you guys all to envision the Bowser Super Mario Brother battles. Okay. I think they knocked off some of this music for those battles. Like it just... Doesn't it sound like the castles?
I think you're right. What an astute observation.
I like went heavy on it. I was like, oh, that's Bowser music right there. So it quickly ends, but like that intro, I'm like, yes, this is Super Mario. So I had some hope for this song.
Wow. Okay. All right. Here we go.
And then it just sounds so whiny.
What are you talking about? Robert Plant's voice, his singing?
Yes, it sounds like I just wanted to say, shape up and stop whining.
My, I'm so happy.
But it's not even.
It's a happy song. Like, he's not whining. It's like a happy song. They're celebrating. It's called Celebration Day. They're celebrating.
Who whines while they're celebrating?
You know, this song was actually like, they used to call this like the New York song because, like, when Robert Plant wrote the lyrics, he was like thinking of New York. When he wrote this, because he liked New York.
It didn't sound like that to me. So listeners, do you agree with me that it sounds a little whiny?
All right, hold on. I'll play a little bit of the, let me play a little bit of the
play
the
a little bit of the wine for me.
Oh, the wine. Oh my God. Okay, hold on. Let me get to this. Here we go.
It's a little light. Like the chord's not good. It's a little hard to hear. Like, I think your cord might, it's like your cord's not plugged in all the way or something. So it's coming through, like, not as whiny as I need it to.
Oh, you need it to be whinier?
No, it's like we can't hear it very well.
Oh.
Like, I hear just, like, drums. Not this is, like, the singing. Maybe everybody else hears the singing, but I don't.
You don't hear that.
It sounds like a mosquito right now.
We also have one headphone in.
No. Someone else tell me that they can hear it good or not. Here, I'll put the other one in. It just sounds like a mosquito, like the.
Oh man! So Led Zeppelin sounds like a mosquito to you? Okay.
It sounds whiny. Okay, so Dave is coming in and saying he agrees the audio is coming through oddly, just for the music.
All right. So, yeah. All right.
So, a little mosquito-y, a little whiny. I really didn't like this one. Did you guys all hear that? There's the open-minded, okays. And then there's the,
Okay, listen, I took a risk on this one because I knew for sure that you were not going to know the song. So check that box. I know that you haven't listened to a lot of Led Zeppelin.
No.
So I checked that box. So yeah. And quite frankly, Led Zeppelin 3 in the catalog of Led Zeppelin is a little bit of a, because after the first two Led Zeppelin records, 1 and 2, Led Zeppelin, just Led Zeppelin and Led Zeppelin 2, Led Zeppelin 3 was a shock for everybody. It actually wasn't even like, it was just, there's more acoustic songs on here. It was a different sounding record from the first two. And I knew the one song on here, if I played it, you know, Immigrant Song. Mm-hmm. You know that one. Sure. So I'm like, I'm not playing that one because you know it. So I'm going to go for another song. I love the version of this. Actually, the version of the song I really like more is the live version from A Song Remains the Same Live. And then there's another version where with the Black Crowes, with Jimmy Page and Black Crowes, I absolutely love. So the actual Led Zeppelin 3 version of the song is a little more subdued. It's much more rocking and bigger and louder like live. But anyway, you know. Okay. All right. You know what? Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So here we are with a rating. Where does this land? I, for all purposes, should give it a 2 records.
You're going to give Led Zeppelin a 2 record?
But.
Holy smokes.
But. I'm going to bump it up to 0.5, like 2.5.
Wow.
Because I enjoyed the intro, because it's Super Mario Brothers.
Coming out hot today.
I am. I really would never replay this song.
I will never listen to the song again. All right. Okay. Listen. All right. So it's a 2.5 for you.
2.5 for Whiny Day Celebration.
Whiny Day Celebration.
That might become a new shirt. I'm sorry. There's that again. So I don't know if y'all agree with me or not. There, it's coming through better.
The soul rips here. Here it goes. Let's go. Oh my God. All right, whatever. 2.5. Get out of here.
I'm so happy.
I'm gonna join the band.
So you hear it like that way. I hear, I'm so happy. I'm gonna join the band. Like crybaby.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Robert Plant equals crybaby. Yeah.
Led Zeppelin 2.5 for Crybaby Celebration Day.
Krista, dang, where's the thumbs down on that? Whoa.
Ooh, Krista coming in hot.
My favorite Led Zeppelin song came out years later in 71. 1 year later, Misty Mountain Hop. Great song. Yeah, and Dave, to your point, once again, the difference between Led Zeppelin 3 is like kind of a weird outlier in those first three records. Like, it's just every song is so different from the next. It's crazy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I do agree. Amanda, I think you'll dig Robert Plant's recent stuff as duets with Alison Krauss. My father's obsessed with all the Robert Plant, Alison Krauss stuff.
Ooh.
My mother will tell you.
Noted and will listen.
Yeah.
I love Alison. Oh.
All right. Okay. So far, Ian is saying to do your jingle after all 6 songs. No one else has weighed in, though, yet.
Okay. So
but I know Amanda wants to get this out. So.
But. I just don't want to forget it.
And we're not forgetting it. All right. When would you like to do it?
Oh, I'm it's if our viewers say after 6 songs, it'll be after 6 songs.
We have one book for after 6 songs.
Weigh in, y'all.
All right, weigh in. All right. So your first song to me. All right. So listen, this I knew that one of us was going to put the Carpenters on our list.
How could you not?
Because I think if anybody's listened to this show now for almost 3 seasons knows that Amanda and I do both share an affection for the Carpenters.
Such an affection.
We just do. Mm-hmm. And And this song is exactly the song I would have chosen. So while we're very different in some respects, like her thinking, you know, Robert Plant is a whiny crybaby on Celebration Day, we do agree on the Carpenters being a truly amazing band. They are the chef's kiss a bit. I agree.
Oh, they're so good.
There's nothing better than Kara Carpenter's voice. I mean, believe me, there's a lot of great voices, but Karen Carpenter's
angel.
Voice is just this. Yep, the sounds of an angel. And this song is the classic Carpenter song. They long to be close to you. I mean, this song is an A plus plus plus. You know that song? You know that scene from Christmas Story?
Yes.
He's having a dream.
On the board.
That's the song. This song is that. This is just a great. I mean, it's just a great song. I love it, and I don't know if there's any way it hasn't heard this song, but let me play a little bit of it because I mean. It's magic. Just,
she's
I mean,
so...
even this, the minute you hear this piano.
How simplistic.
By the way, it's like, come on.
Like butter.
Butter.
Soft
Let's
butter.
Let's go.
Spreadable butter.
This song has no business being this hard. Like, this song goes hard. In all the best ways.
Why do stars fall down from the sky?
I mean, get out of here, you know? Crazy.
To sing so effortlessly.
I know. Just like me. I always love this line, too.
Here it comes. Oh, yeah.
On the day that you were
there you go.
And decided to create a dream.
It's just great.
Oh,
they sprinkled moon dust in
your hair. Yes, just simple.
Yeah,
a little moon dust
they
for everybody.
They sprinkled moon dust in your hair. So little history about this song, by the way. So things I didn't know about this song.
Tell me all about
it. For years. By the way, my shout out to my family. We have like a sick obsession with this song. Just saying.
Hey, we all should.
So this song was actually written by the team of Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It was originally released as a B-side to Blue Guitar by Richard Chamberlain in 1963. So the original version of this, Richard Chamberlain. Dusty Springfield also recorded an early version of the song in 1964, which was originally scheduled to be released as a single and potential follow-up to her hit, I Just Don't Know What to Do With Myself. However, it wasn't until 3 years later, in 1967, that her version was finally released on her album, Where Am I Going? This is all coming courtesy of our friends over at songfacts.com, who are not a sponsor, but we would love for you to be a sponsor.
Absolutely.
But in 1969, the Carpenters signed with AM Records, which was co-owned by Herb Alpert. Burt Bacharach asked Alpert to record the song himself, but he didn't feel comfortable with the lyrical content, Moon Dust in Your Hair, and instead produced a new arrangement for the Carpenters. Richard Carpenter said of the recording, Herb Alpert, just gave me a lead sheet and he said, I have a recording of this, but I don't want you to hear it. I don't want anything to influence what I may come up with. Just keep it at the end of the first bridge, two piano quintuplets, that record, that song, the arrangement, all of it is misleading to the uninitiated because it sounds so simple. And it's anything but simple. In the first sessions for this song, Karen Carpenter played the drums, which Alpert didn't like. Said the producer, I thought it was a little light. And I asked for him to go back into the studio again because Karen was playing the drums. And they recorded it the second time, and I felt they still were missing a little something on the groove. So I suggested very carefully to Karen that maybe Hal Blaine should come in and play drums on the record. Blaine replaced Karen on drums and then got the take they like with Richard on piano, Joe Osborne on bass, and Karen singing. Goes on and on, but this is a great song. The Carpenters' first single was actually a cover of Ticket to Ride, which was number 54 in the U.S. This was their second single, which went to number one in the United States and charted number six in the U.K.,
So beautiful.
Yeah. Such
wonderful,
a great song.
Wonderful history.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful history. So, yeah. Karen Carpenter definitely did not have a whiny voice.
No, sir.
Amanda's on top of the world with her Carpenters.
Oh, gosh. I love them.
Yeah. I agree too. Herb Alpert did the best Bond theme song, 1967's Casino Royale. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. So where do I rank the Carpenters? Close to you.
Tell me.
I mean, come on. This is a 5-record song.
All right. I mean. You're saying what I want to hear.
I'm a fan of this. I love the Carpenters. This is one of my favorite songs. This is on my Eternity playlist.
Oh, so good. Maybe I received those five records.
Probably even on the Funeral playlist, too. If we're going to go back and revisit the Funeral playlist. Yeah,
great episode. If you've not listened to it, find it. It's a classic.
Apparently everybody likes it because it's like trending like number 2 out of our episodes.
let's talk about death a little bit. Yeah. Everyone loves that subject. Yeah. So my first song doubled the rating of your first song to me.
Yeah.
I guess that's a lesson to everyone to not be whiny.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What are you apologizing for? You said what you said.
I did.
You don't hear me apologizing for Uptown Girl.
No, that was an uproar.
Yeah, that's still in the annals of Soul Swap Showdown history.
Yes.
Reverberating through the halls.
You gave clean 2 records on that one. That's it. No 2.1.
Nope, it was two.
And you're like, only because, like, I feel like I can't give it less than that. But you wanted to.
because you had to take into account the enormous success of the song. So
right.
Some people like that song.
I think the video helped you up it to the 2, if I remember correctly.
The video is great, actually. I love the video.
We did have a reaction video to that too on YouTube, so check that out.
Cornball song. Anyway, we're not talking about Uptown Girl. We were talking about the Carpenters Close to You. And now you're talking about my second song,
which is Rodriguez, which is Sugar.
Sugar Man.
Which when I saw it, I was like, Sugar Man. Sugar Man, sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I just wrote Sugar down. I was like, Sugar. No, Sugar Man by Rodriguez. I'm like, okay, what a refreshing second song after that first song. I mean, it just starts out laid back. Chill, cool.
Had you heard this song before? Or you of Rodriguez?
Not. I didn't even know of Rodriguez, and I went down the rabbit hole.
You went down the rabbit hole, didn't you?
I surely did. I go, certainly he has to have a popular song I knew, because how did I not know him? And I could not find, I listened to a ton of his songs, could not find one I knew. I even Googled his most popular songs, still didn't know him. So I appreciate, and this is why we love doing this show so much, is because we do get exposed, and we hope our listeners are also getting exposed to new, you know, artists that we would not have otherwise heard. And he is going to be on my playlist for sure. I can't wait to put him as a suggestion and let like Pandora and Spotify do their thing.
It's a Michigan boy.
I did read that. Like, very interesting. Yeah. Detroit, which listening to his sound and it that it came out of that area kind of makes sense. It didn't have a Motown sound to it, but it also had that chill, relaxing feel that centering an environment that is if I was in that time frame. So I was a little surprised it was 70, if I'm being honest.
1970.
If I would have listened to it outside of this theme, I would have guessed it was not 1970, maybe earlier for sure. But then when I read about it and how it's all about drugs, I'm like, that's more 70 than Motown, I would say.
Yeah, Sixto Rodriguez.
And the sound effects within the song are obnoxiously wonderful.
It's great. Like, so psychedelic. It's fantastic.
It's so funny. And so we all can remember, I have shared before, I have never done drugs before. Yet this song gives me like that chill feeling that I'm like, well, if all drugs made you feel this chill.
Maybe it's not so bad.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like I would puke on them. But if this is what it's like,
All right, so let's check out a little bit of Sugar Man for
anybody. Play me some. Play me some Sugar Man. Like, ooh.
Sugar Man.
What a voice.
Won't you hurry?
Oh, nice.
Cause I'm tired of these scenes.
Oh, yeah.
For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams.
So good.
Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane.
Do, 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 do. It's like
sugar man.
It's so great. So you have to watch the film, the documentary, Searching for Sugar Man.
Okay.
It's about him. Because I mean, there was like a ton of mythology, and you went down a rabbit hole a little bit about Sixto Rodriguez, that like he put this record out and just disappeared. And people like, there was a myth that like he had killed himself on stage, that he, there's all these myths around him. And it was just the reality is even stranger than the myths, because he actually like put these records out, didn't become popular. And actually, so just to give a little bit, because I there's a few things I just want to, because I think from our the people who listen to the show will find a lot as fascinating. Mm-hmm. But it's great. So according to songfacts.com, this song and the Cold Fact album, which is what this song came off of, got little attention. And after one more album, Rodriguez vanished. But in Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, Cold Fact gained a following that built year after year. Rodriguez toured Australia with local heroes Midnight Oil in 1981, and when the album was issued there on CD, it went platinum. But after the tour, he slipped away again. And even as his popularity skyrocketed in South Africa, where he became a legend, back home in Detroit, Rodriguez got a degree in philosophy, did social work, ran for state legislator, and worked at a gas station. He didn't even learn of his South African popularity until the late 1990s, when he was in his 50s and working as a laborer cleaning houses.
Stop.
Yeah. So, and this is what the documentary goes into. In 1998, a South African fan named Steven Seegerman worked with American journalist Craig Bartholomew to arrange for Rodriguez to tour the country along with Sweden, Australia, and New Zealand. Footage was used for the documentary called Dead Men Don't Tour, and a precursor to the 2012 Oscar-winning documentary Searching for Sugar Man, which brought him into the public eye in America for the first time. He began performing to packed houses, and his catalog was re-released.
My gosh!
And here's another little funny thing, too. It's not funny, but I mean, it just goes... The South African Broadcasting Company banned this song because of drug references, with the track literally, and this goes in the documentary, they scratched it out on their records, making many wonder what was on the mysterious track. And the ban was lifted in 1991 when Nelson Mandela was released from prison. But like, they literally scratched the song off the record, so you couldn't listen to it in South Africa, which made it even more like, what is a song? It's like mysterious. Yeah. And you have to watch this documentary.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And what fascinates, I think, you and I so much is when there's that reinvention of an earlier song that wasn't just what it was. It was what it was at the time. Right. And then, wow. Oh, my gosh. From cleaning.
Yeah.
From doing all this to cleaning homes and working at a gas station, being unfamiliar that his name and likelihood was like blowing up in other countries. Wow.
You have to watch this document. You are going to be blown away. It's so well done. And
I cannot wait.
So Searching for Sugar Man, watch the documentary. But yes, and it goes, and it's this record, the song, all this. So I was like, I had to take this as an opportunity to introduce you to Rodriguez, because when you listen to the whole record and and then you hear the story, it's like, how did this guy not become huge? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Dave, Rodriguez feels like a blend of Jim Croce, mm-hmm. Cat Stevens, and Harry Chapin. Yep. Super talented guy, too. and you'll hear from that record. Listen to Cold Fact. Rodriguez has a life story as strange as Rocky Erickson. He most certainly does.
That is so fascinating.
Like, one of the strangest stories in rock and roll. Like, it's phenomenal. And for years, people literally thought he was dead, like dead. And he was not.
He was just getting a degree.
But had no idea, zero idea about his fame outside of like the United States. Like no one in the United States even knew he was even anything. Like that he even put this record out. And he was like, oh, whatever. He just lived his life. A simple guy. Like, yeah, that's it. Meanwhile, he's like a well-known like star in these other countries.
Unbelievable. So that leads me to believe he just did not have adequate representation.
Yeah, well, it's also 1970. Record industry is different. I mean, there's a whole lot of things. They actually go into it a lot in the documentary. They go into a lot of it.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to watch it. And I'm for anybody listening, please, if you just like music documentaries, just watch it. It's a fascinating story. It really is.
All right. So where do I rate this song?
Where do you rate Rodriguez Sugarman as a song? As a song? You know, I just wanted to go into the story, but
the
song
story.
Itself. Yeah.
So I'm so glad you gave this to me because I feel that he's going to be a staple to my listening on my channels here. But is this particular song going to be my favorite of his? Probably not. But did it expose me to his sound and his approach to music? It surely did. So I'm super excited to find my favorites of his. I don't think this one is his just because of it's about the drugs and there's
It's about what he's growing up around in Detroit. I mean, it's
absolutely
what's going on around him.
And our you know, definition of a five record is that Eternity playlist. I can't put this in the same zone as the Carpenters. Yes.
Right. It's not in Carpenter's zone.
Correct. Or some of our other five records. But I surely am giving this a four record.
Okay.
And I think he, as an artist, probably I would rate him even higher because I can't wait to dive into all of his songs.
Yeah, dive into Cold Fact, man. It's a really solid record, and then when you watch the documentary, it's like wow. It's just
his cover of his albums are really cool too.
Yeah.
I mean, the artwork on them, like, it's just really cool. So I was really vibing with them.
Cool.
For four records for Sugarman.
Glad you enjoyed Sugarman. I was hoping you would dig that one.
I did. Yeah. Thank you.
And I was like, Chris, it's even better that he's a Detroit, Michigan guy. So.
Absolutely. That was very cool.
All right. So your second song to me is the Elvis Presley classic, Walk a Mile in My Shoes.
Walk a Mile in My Shoes.
But not just any version. It's the live version from Elvis on stage, 1970.
This is like my favorite time of Elvis.
This is Jumpsuit Elvis.
This is what Amanda likes.
This is Amanda's version of Elvis. That is like, you know, your favorite version of Elvis.
Yes.
Because everybody has their favorite version of Elvis, right? Like,
yes.
You know, there's the different eras of Elvis. Like, what would you consider the different eras of Elvis? Because I know you, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm an Elvis fan. You are a big Elvis fan. What are, like, the eras of Elvis?
I feel like there's that beginning Elvis where he's finding his voice, you know, and then there's the Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, like the Jailhouse Rock, you know, where he's really jumping and dancing and being provocative and feeling the music.
Right.
And that's when like society was hating it and trying to be like, you can't do that, you know, and he's like, I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, you can't thrust your pelvis on TV.
Yes. And he's like, okay, I'll thrust my whole body. Like and then there was that time where Elvis kind of just, I don't want to say went away, but there was a pause, I feel like. And then there was a 69 comeback.
Because didn't he serve? Did Elvis actually serve or did he get out of? Yeah, he did serve, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And that's when he met Priscilla.
Priscilla.
She was such a baby. Like, he was like a cradle robber.
Yeah, there's a little,
Watch some documentaries on that. But, you know, it was a different time.
Right, it was a different time.
And her parents clearly said, like, I could have said no, but she was going to go do it anyway.
True.
Like, who would not go with Elvis?
I mean, it's Elvis.
It's Elvis. I mean, so they were kind of wise. Like, you're going to fight a battle. You're not going to win. And then there was the jumpsuit
The Vegas jumpsuit Elvis.
The theatrical. I think that was when he really started enjoying.
With the cape.
Yes.
The cape.
The scarf.
Right.
And him engaging with the audience. And really, I think he did a lot of songs that he wanted to do that he thought was fun. His backup singers were just amazing during that time. So I really, the jumpsuit Elvis is my favorite.
That's your favorite. That's your favorite era of Elvis.
Mm.
Did you get into Elvis movies? Were you an Elvis movie person?
We own them all.
Okay, which is your favorite of the Elvis films?
I don't like any of them. I hate them.
None of them?
So much. But we own them all on DVD, basically. But what I love are we have also like almost all the documentaries on DVDs as well. Yeah, they're so funny. But I like the music from them. They're pretty.
That's the one I like.
He karate chops a cheetah. Like, come on. Like, they're so silly.
The Al Capoca one is he gets into the diving contest with the guy. Like, they're in a diving contest.
Yes, they're so silly. Like, is
it karate chops a cheetah? I don't know if I know that. I'm just going back to that right now. Karate chopping a
These are like these movies could have been current day TikToks, right? Like they're just silly. But I love the documentaries on Elvis. Like,
with cheetah.
All right, we're gonna have to watch. We'll do a reaction video to you reacting to Elvis. Karate chopping a cheetah.
I may have to.
Oh man. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I love Give Me the Jumpsuit Elvis all day long.
Yeah. And then all the weird stuff with like Nixon and being in the CIA and all that, like all this like crazy stuff. And
all
there's
the
also
drama.
Great stories of like the Beatles meeting all there's so many like classic Elvis stories. But yeah, so your era of Elvis is Jumpsuit Elvis. I would say I don't know if because I, like I said, I'm not a giant Elvis fan. I tend to like cherry pick stuff from his catalog. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although I guess maybe a lot of the stuff I tend to like from his tends to be more of the later Elvis, mm-hmm. like the recordings and stuff. I'm not sure why. I just seem to like lean more towards like, oh, I like the way that sounds. And I mean, listen, undeniable. Like Elvis, has created a cultural shift in music. There's only so many points in music that you could point to in recent history, actually, when you look at the timeline, mm-hmm. that huge cultural shifts were made in music, and Elvis is one of those points. And so it is fascinating to me to see, and I didn't see the movie, actually, the most recent film on HBO. I actually didn't get a chance to watch it yet, and I know there's another documentary out too where it follows Elvis and like his musical roots and all, mm-hmm. and everybody's been telling me I gotta watch, and so that's another one that's on my to watch list too. But when I listen to this track and it's live, and there is something special about it, it's even though it's Elvis doing his thing, you can hear him hamming it up in the Elvis like thing that he's an entertainer. I mean, the guy's a legend. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to work a crowd. But I like the song. I mean, I've heard this song before. This is not a song I hadn't heard before. And I dig it. I mean, I would say that is it gonna make my eternity playlist? It's five. No, it's not five record tune, but it's not something I dislike. I mean, I would put this on a jukebox. I would dig it. I dig most Elvis stuff when it comes on. I like the Elvis Christmas record, by the way. It's one of my favorite Christmas records. Is that Elvis Christmas record?
Yeah.
I feel like
that's
it's a staple. I feel like it's a holiday staple, at least around these parts. I like this. I like this version. I think it's cool. I would give it a 3.8, I think.
Okay.
Originally I was at a 3.5 with it, but I did listen to it a few more times. And I don't know, I just appreciate it, I think a 3.8 is pretty good.
Fair.
Yeah. I'll play a little bit of Walk a Mile in My Shoes live.
Put on that Elvis for me.
I mean, I always love to. He always has the best musicians in his band.
It's if you could
be always the best musicians, man. Like, the guitar work, so good.
Each other's
I mean, it's good too.
If you could see you through my eyes instead of your ego. I believe it'd be a surprise to see. But you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes.
There you go. So this song was originally written, by the way, by Joe Smith. So once again, Elvis did a lot of standards. It wasn't, Elvis didn't really write songs. It was all stuff that he would cover and all that. But this was a really popular song. The song's highest position reached on Billboard Hot 100 was number 12. So
I like it.
Yep. Joe South originally wrote this song. So, but I recommend listening to the Onstage record, the 1970, because it is cool. And to hear these guys play live, just, you know, in a time when, like, you played live, you did a little studio magic, not much. It's cool. I highly recommend checking it out.
And he performed when he was doing that. Yeah. So to perform and then also be able to sing, it's quite impressive. Like, the endurance to do that.
Yeah, Chris is right. Good dancing music. I agree. Yeah. I mean, you hear it. It's got that great ding, 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 like that, like, really cool.
You just start moving.
Dave, I recommend watching the Val Kilmer of Elvis movies, Top Secret. That is a hilarious film, by the way. Yes, agreed. Deep cut on that, too. Top Secret. Good one.
All right. Well, I receive your 3.8 records on that. So thank you.
3.8. All right. Third song, which, okay, this is the one you knew. You knew it.
I knew this.
I didn't think you would. I was 50, honestly, I would say I was 50-50 on a serial killer board.
Incidentally, does that give you a clue on how I know this?
See, if you look at this board, I would have put, like, the, by the way, I have a visual of the murder board, mystery board up on the screen. I would probably put it in the corner, like the top right corner with like a string, because I'm like, you know who Ozzy is because of the Osbournes. And we've also talked about Ozzy. But
yeah,
did you know Paranoid? Because I've played very popular, well-known songs for you before. And you have not known them. Like, you did not know AC/DC Back in Black. You're like, I think I've heard this song. And I'm like, you know, I mean, there's other songs where you have really been like, oh, it's a shoo-in. And you're like, I've never heard this before.
Absolutely.
Like, how is that possible?
We should do an episode of There's No Way You Haven't Heard This Song Before. And see if we can get all six songs that you know. So Paranoid by Black Sabbath is your third song to me. And how I know it, and it'll be so clear as soon as I say it, is by American Horror Story. They're 1984.
Oh, man.
Season. It is in there.
I forgot it was in there.
Yes, because as soon as it started, I was like, I know this. And I immediately Google machined. I was like, is Paranoid in American Horror Story? I knew exactly where it was. And sure enough, it was in there. I was like, I knew it. I know.
Wow, that's where. Okay, that makes sense now. I completely forgot it was in that episode, but, you know. I figured if you were going to have heard it, it would have been some from something like that. There you go.
Yep. Which
American
is like
Horror Story,
which incidentally is like the serial murder board.
Yeah. Osborne's a medical miracle. Yeah. Him and Keith Richards.
So, and poor Ozzy, he stopped doing his stuff,
which, you know,
I mean, let's be fair.
It's fine. I saw Ozzy on the very, very last, whatever, a few years ago. And
It's time.
But,
you know, it's got to be hard for somebody who's always performed or has that desire to perform to finally go, okay, my time in this is done. It's got to be a hard season.
I would say yes. I mean, it's what you do, right?
Yeah.
It's what you do. But at the same time, like, I'd rather – no one wants to see a performer up there. Like,
struggling.
Like, you wouldn't want to see Elvis today.
No, and I know this is going to sound cruel that I say, but I do feel like Elvis died when he should have. I don't think he could have aged.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like, it's just some people, it's just, it's time to stop performing. That's just it. Like, you're just, you know, you physically can't do it anymore, which, once again, I'm sure it's very frustrating for doing something you love, but you know what? But you can still make music. You just, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that you can still do that hopefully satisfy the urge, the creative urge, you know, instead of going out and actual performing or performing regularly, maybe like one or two performances here and there. But yeah, Ozzy physically cannot do it.
I'm sure Sharon had
to the level that I'm sure he wants to.
Of course.
And, you know, and that the fans expect, you know.
And I suspect Sharon probably has some control over that going, I want people to remember Ozzy a certain way.
I do too.
Not that way. So I respect that. I don't know that to be true, but I suspect when you love someone, you want to honor their image.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to pay to go see an Ozzy that's just like having a really hard time out there singing the songs, not being able to move as it is.
Yeah,
like,
that's sad.
You know, it's just, I don't want to see that of him. No. I mean, and it's like, I know that's not what he wants either. And I think it's a great time for him to call it a day. And tons of music, tons of great memories. I've seen Ozzy so many times over the years. It's like crazy.
I only watched him in his reality show.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah, Chris, I'm so glad I got to take my son to see Ozzy. I think we're at the same, we were at the same show, the one at PNC. Yeah. Because Ozzy, disappeared for, 20 minutes. You're trying to, there was a big guitar, because he needs breaks. He needs breaks. Yeah, but yeah.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay. Paranoid. And by the way, this was another band that released two records in the same year. They had Black Sabbath, the landmark Black Sabbath record. Personally, my favorite Black Sabbath record. And then released Paranoid the same year. So two records in the same year.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. So if you can cue up the beginning of the song, I want you guys to be open-minded as I walk you into something as you're listening to the intro. Okay, here we are.
Like the second song I learned how to play.
Here we go. Get your motor on. Head on a highway. Can you hear it?
Yeah. I can't stop now. I'm just rocking. I'm like, stop. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I can't stop.
But it is exactly the sound of get your motor running.
Yeah, it's Steppenwolf. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely the same. Oh, yeah. Oh,
but better. As soon as this singing started, I was like, oh, I know this one.
All right. I will say Paranoid greater than Born to be Wild. Sorry.
I won't disagree.
Greater than. Not saying Born to be Wild is a bad song. I'm just saying greater than.
I don't necessarily love Born to be Wild. So I feel like it's one of those songs that everyone knows, but just I don't know. So this, I agree with you. Paranoid is better than Get Your Motor Running.
Yeah, get your motor running. Head on the highway. Looking for adventure.
Could you imagine if they did that, Black Sabbath did that?
Well, they did. They called Paranoid.
No, you're right. True. Good one. Did you?
All right.
Okay. I can appreciate how quickly this song starts hot. It just gets into it.
It just goes.
It just goes, and then the singing Anna. It just goes, and it's good. I actually like this. When I knew it from American Horror Story, I didn't know it was Black Sabbath. I just knew the song. So when you sent this to me, I was like, I knew it immediately, but I would never guess it was Black Sabbath. So I really like this song. So where do I rate this song?
First of all, I just love the fact that you heard Paranoid in a show and you're like, oh, I didn't know that was Black Sabbath until this
today.
Weekend.
Yeah, this weekend.
You're so great. It's so great. It's so great. I would love to be that way sometimes. Hear something for the first time that I've heard a billion times.
And I think it was last week Ian was like, Amanda must watch so much television. And you know what's so funny is I say I don't, but apparently I do. Or the shows that I watch just typically have the songs that you send me in them.
I think you watch very, very relevant pop culture shows.
Shows like the Stranger Things, but
you're in it with the shows,
I guess. And then, but I think also the song, so maybe my TV show choices aligns more with your type of music than I ever would guess.
I think that's a good
assessment. Yeah. Right? Because I'm oh, this was in Charmed. This was in American Horror Story. This was in Dexter.
Time to reevaluate this board a little bit.
I think we need another board.
I hate to do another board.
I love it. All right. So where do I rate this? I am going to give this. I do really like this song. It's kind of edgy. It's fun. It's a toe tapper. It gets you moving. Mm-hmm. I could, not that I run, but I could run to this if I chose to ever run.
You could skate to it.
I could skate to this. Yeah. I could be doing a power skate.
The power skate.
Yeah. The speed skating songs at Skateway. There was the fast skate.
Yeah.
And all you slow people, get off the rink.
Yeah, that's a fast skate. Yeah, fast skate.
I could fast skate to Paranoid.
You could.
I could. And so I don't know if I can make the whole song these days fast skating, but I would try. So I'm going to give this. I really enjoyed it. I'm giving this 4 records.
All right.
I will listen to this again.
All right. I like it. Giving me right now a combined score for the day. Math.
I got us at I got
a,
you
of a 10.5.
Okay, our mathing, our terrible mathing has aligned.
10.5.
I'm getting 10.5 as well. Look at all us right. math.
Yeah.
We got it. All
right.
This. All right.
All right, Amanda.
Last song. Here we go.
Your song to me is definitely something I never heard. Once again, not being a giant country fan, but I will say so I appreciate you putting this on here because I do like the sound of country from back from vintage. I guess vintage country. I don't know. 1970s country.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's the time that it went real from real twangy to like new twang.
During this
transition, this decade. Okay.
So for all of you, the track is called That's How I Got to Memphis by Bobby Bear. No idea who Bobby Bear is. I'm sure everybody's like, oh, but it's okay. You know, not it's a country right. person. However, you know, reading up about Bobby Bear just was like, all right, I'm going to educate myself about Bobby Bear. Bobby Bear is an American country singer and songwriter, best known for the songs Marie LaVue, Detroit City, and 500 Miles Away from Home. He is the father of Bobby Bear Jr., also a musician. So there you go.
Have it.
In the 1950s, Barry repeatedly tried and failed to sell his songs. He finally got a record deal with Capitol Records and recorded a few unsuccessful rock and roll singles. Just before he was drafted into the United States Army, he wrote a song called The All-American Boy and did a demo for his friend Bill Parsons to learn how to record. Instead of using Parsons' later version, the record company decided to go with Bear's original demo. The record reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. So there you go. That was
there
the start.
You have it.
That is the start of his career.
And the words in this song, I think, are just super sweet. I think everyone can relate to this type of when you love someone, you just end up in places.
It was originally written by music artist Tom T. Hall. The song tells the story of a man coming to Memphis to look for his former lover. The first song appeared on Hall's 1969 album Ballad for $40 and his other great songs and has been widely covered, most notably by Bobby Bear in 1970, Daryl Dodd in 1996, and Charlie Crockett in 2018, which Charlie Crockett, by the way, is one of the artists that my buddy Ken keeps recommending to me to check out.
Yeah.
I've listened to a bunch of Charlie Crockett stuff. And I like that what I've heard from Charlie Crockett. Now I kind of hear where it's coming from in Bobby Bear. Like, so I can actually draw a line from what he's doing to what Bobby Bear did in the 1970. So that was like my correlation of that. So how did I like the song?
I was going to say for our listeners, Charlie Crockett is a newer
country artist
that has a very similar sound to what we are going to play.
Yeah.
It's kind of refreshing, kind of cool to hear something modern with that old.
Yeah.
Sound.
I he's very Americana, you know, and I just dig that. There's something about that certain, I don't like all that, but sometimes it just hits me in a right way, and I'm like, that's really cool. I just find it interesting. And a lot of times, too, what happens for me, I don't know if this happens for you, but like, it's kind of refreshing sometimes to listen to something that's completely out of like what you normally listen to. It kind of feels like a palate cleanse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, like this is so like out of what I listen to that I'm actually enjoying this because it's so far removed. You know, and that's kind of I enjoyed listening to that's how I got to Memphis. So let me play a little bit of this for everybody who never heard this.
Play a little bit of that magic.
You know, it's got I envision like walking
if
in.
If you love somebody enough, you follow wherever
I envision walking into a bar at like 10 o'clock at night, empty.
That's how I got to Memphis.
And this is on the jukebox. That's what it goes on my head.
If you love post up at the bar. Enough,
hit me.
Yep. On pace.
Yeah.
That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis.
But yeah, cool tune. I like the feel of it. And while it's twangy, I don't know. I think it's the recording of it too, the sound. Like, I like that vintage sound, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. You know, it's just a different, right? The production value in 1970 is a lot different than the production value in 2023. So there's a certain warmness and magic, I feel like, to the producing of records then. I mean, you could hear it on many of the records from, you know, that time period.
Yeah. Just,
I think it's simply because you're recording on tape versus recording on, like, you know, ones and zeros digital now. But, and I think there's something, there's really something to that. I really dug it. I don't know if I can't give it five records.
That's
and not
fair.
That I, not that I can't, because I just, like, I don't know if it would make an eternity playlist is where I'm at, mm-hmm. right? So, isn't on an eternity playlist. It's not like the Carpenters. I have a weird obsession with that song. But, like, it's not there for me, but I did enjoy it, and I'm kind of, like, cool, like, happy that it's on my radar now of things. And I'm happy to add it into a mix of songs that I've been listening to. Like, I've started a very small country mix because of you, Amanda, of things that you've given me, plus things that my buddy Ken has given me. And I'm like, you know, it's, would I put it on that playlist? I think I would add it in. I can hear it slotting in.
All right.
So with all that being said, I really enjoyed the song. I thought it was cool, and I think I'd listen to it again. So I will give you four records. I will give this and you
that.
Four records.
Thank you for my four records.
Which puts you into, this is going to make you the winner of this week's Song Swap Showdown.
With a larger gap than the last couple.
Much bigger gap.
I think this is the biggest gap we've had thus far since we've been keeping track. So Chris ended up at 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
All because of Whiny Celebration Day. And I ended up with a 12.8.
So that now puts you in the Song Swap Showdown lead of your record being 4-2 and me moving to a 2-4.
That's okay, though.
It's all right. My songs are just better anyway. But that's...
Well, let's ask our listeners. Yeah. Did we get it right?
Did we get it right, everybody? Yeah. Chris, are you even crying?
Oh, Dave, becoming in even more of a VIP.
Wow. All right, Dave.
He's so, like, on it.
Time for the Amanda Diddy. Bring it on. All right. Okay, yeah. So for everybody who's been patiently waiting to the end of the show. All right. So there's two things that are going to happen. Amanda's going to do a ditty, and then we're going to spin the wheel of show themes to find out what next week's show theme is going to be. So, Amanda, I'm giving you the floor for your ditty.
I call this one the Song Swap Showdown.
the song swap with the twang. Song swap showdown.
There's going to be a twang to it. All right. You all ready?
Take it away.
It's the song swap showdown. Chris is already laughing. All right. I'm going to start over. All right. He's got to turn around. It's the song swap showdown. Where we swap three songs and rate them 1-5 records. And there ain't no crying, no. But we laugh a lot and give you lots of fun song facts. We hope you'll tune into our show. There you go. You're welcome.
You're welcome, world.
That one was brought to you today by Amanda Country Sharp. So we've had a rap.
We've had a rap.
And we've had a country twang.
Country twang.
What should be the next ditty? I am taking requests.
Amanda is taking requests.
Amanda is taking requests. So, Chris.
That was very good, though. By the way, very good. Thank you for sharing that with me and the rest of the world.
On a scale of 1-5 records, y'all. Where did it land?
Oh, yep. We have to rate Amanda on a scale of 1-5 records. Where does that land? I have to recoup. I have to recuse myself from the voting because, you know, I'm too close to it, so I can't give an official rating. So I recuse myself from the voting process.
Chris's laughter already indicated where his rating would fall. And Dave coming in with, put those rhinestones away. So is that it was bad?
I don't know. Was it bad? Let us know what you think of Amanda's second theme song for the show. We'll have to do a montage of all your theme songs by the end of the year.
Oh, that'll be fun. Hey, we're just really trying to bring the entertainment to everybody.
I love it. I personally love it, and I appreciate it.
All right, there we go.
Oh, Ian, Eternal Playlist.
Oh, my gosh. Five records. Let's hear that. Amanda made the Eternal Playlist. with her song swap showdown.
I think that might be in my head all day.
I was going to just say, you're welcome for everyone who has it in their head.
you're welcome for that one. Yeah. Oh, here we go. The ditty was the tune of Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
I've written a few song parodies myself. That was a good start, but only a 2.4.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to bring it next week.
Sorry. No.
Was the rap better than the twang?
Was the rap better than the twang? Oh, that's a good one. Which is greater than?
Which is greater than at this point. But yeah. Either way, it's fun.
It was fun. Well, good job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, everybody. It's that time.
Let's do it.
Let's spin. I'll wait for your reaction. Let's spin the wheel of show themes. All right. Spin the wheel of show. All right. So we don't have a sponsor this week. It's a spot. Yeah. By the way, if you want to sponsor the Wheel of Show Themes, please get it. Please get a hold of us.
It's very affordable.
This week's Wheel of Show Theme sponsor is Pressed Rose. Come for all your your Amanda ish needs. Go to Michigan. Well, you have mail order though now, right? You have some mail order items.
Yeah. Check out the website PressedRose.com.
PressedRose.com.
There we go. That's an easy solution.
There you go. You're the default.
I'm the default.
Default. All right. Let's spin the wheel.
Spin this baby. Big money.
What is next week's show theme going to be?
Let's do this. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Next week's show theme is songs about locations. Songs about locations. Wow, that is a good one. Songs about locations. Okay, so next week's show theme is songs about locations, meaning we're going to swap songs with each other that are songs about a specific location.
I dig this.
States, towns, planets. I mean, a destination, right?
A destination.
Location.
A location destination.
Right? I think so.
This is going to be fun.
So, I don't know. I don't know if this is our suggestion or it was a community suggestion.
I don't remember reading this one in anywhere. So, I'm super pumped is on there. We're going to have to deep dive.
Yeah,
into where this came because I'm really thinking this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So, all right. So, everybody, get your song suggestions ready.
Yes.
We'll pop it in the Facebook group. So join our Facebook group. So that way you can participate. We have a song. You already have a song. Got a song. Let us know in our Song Swap Showdown backstage group, the Facebook group. You can join it right now. Scan the code on QR code on the screen or hit the show notes. Get in there. We'll put a post in there. Let us know your song suggestions for songs about locations. That will be next week's show theme. The comments are already popping. already. Oh. Well, first of all, Ian's got a yes.
maybe that was Ian's.
Dave Mattingly. Locations could even include here in your bedroom, cheeseburger in paradise, or I saw her standing there.
It's so true. This is a really opened
location. It has to be a location.
Reference to location in the song.
So let the suggestions begin. And this is no decade, no like whatever. It's open.
Free reign.
It has to be about a location. That's the one rule.
This is fun. I don't know why I'm so excited about this one.
You're super excited. You're popping. You're popping.
I know there's probably some Elvis.
I see your brain going.
I know. It's pull up that.
I see it going.
Can you hear it too?
I'm gonna replace this out and put
the back of. I'll take a picture of me doing that.
Yeah, take a picture. I can replace this out.
Oh, Krista coming in with Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Yes,
there
are so many options.
Yep. Stand by for Robert's Casino Royale. Let it flow. Let it flow.
Let it flow.
But yeah, we'll put that post in the Facebook group. Let us know your song suggestions. Maybe some of your suggestions will match our suggestions. It has happened before.
It has.
100%. Wow, what a fun show today, Amanda Sharp. This fun. Was great.
Man, thanks for
so much participation.
So much. Thanks for doing this with me every single Monday, Chris. I don't think we tell our community how much we love doing this with each other every Monday. We truly do. And we hope that it shows when we do this how much we enjoy it. And it would not be what it is without our community showing up and adding to the show. So thank you all for just showing up every Monday at 8:15 Eastern Standard Time.
Absolutely. 100%. I want to say thank you to Mark, Dave Mattingly, Ian from Australia, Krista, my mom's. My mom's checking in. And who else did we have checking? I think that's about it on the comments. But for everybody else who was checking us out live today and didn't comment, that's fine. Yes, we see you. We acknowledge you. And we are so appreciative that you would spend some of your precious time with us. Like, truly, it means a lot to us that you would hang out with us here live and have some fun with us. So hopefully you enjoyed the show. And if you really enjoyed the show, a couple things you could do to help grow the show. One, hit that follow or subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening to the show. It really does help the show grow, and not just our show, but any creator that you follow, it helps them tremendously. Also, if you wanted to go the extra mile, like our buddy Dave Mattingly, Mr. VIP, you can head over to buymeacoffee.com/SongSlabShowdown or scan the QR code on the screen or use the link in the show notes here. And feel free to leave us a tip, buy us coffee. It really does help pay some bills around here, you know, as there's always some bills to
there's
pay.
There's always some bills.
Always some bills. Or you can head over to our merch store at SongSlabShowdownMerch.com. Also, link in our show notes and all that. We have a lot of new shirt designs. We're open to new shirt designs as well. So let us know. Amanda's been hot. You've been on a hot streak with shirt designs.
It's stuff inspired from the show. Inspired by the show. Once we did that, I was like, oh, this is easy.
Yeah. So thank you for everybody for those suggestions as well. So, all right, everybody. Well, thank you all so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate you. Appreciate your support. For watching Song Swap Showdown. And Amanda, any final words?
Nope. Just thanks for dealing with all of my shenanigans. Do you want me to sing the Song Swap Showdown on the way out?
Yeah, sing one more time. Amanda, play us out.
I'll play you out. Here we go. It's the Song Swap Showdown. Where we swap three songs and rate them 1 to 5 records. And there ain't no crying, no, no. But we laugh a lot and give you lots of fun song facts. We hope you enjoyed our show. You're welcome.
To get notified every single time we drop a new episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown, just hit that follow button wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the show, please use the email address in our show notes and we'll get right back to you. And last but not least, please feel free to follow us over on our social accounts on Instagram and TikTok at SongSwapShowdown, or join our ever-growing community in our Facebook group by using the link in our show notes. Thanks for listening.